Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this episode is one of our deep dives. We're going to dive to a certain depth. We'll see exactly how deep we go on this great Star Wars Halloween Lego special called Terrifying Tales. I'm excited to dig in. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok, and yes, this is a lesson in how deep do you want to go and how deep should you go? Because it's all Star Wars and we love talking about it.
That's right. We're going to go see exactly what is lurking underneath, or perhaps even right on the surface of this fun Halloween special. But as always, want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Out of the Shadows by Justina Ireland. It is the next great High Republic book. We are reading it now, and a week from now, as if you're listening to this on the day we release it, we are going to be discussing this very book, Out of the Shadows. So if you want to get an Audible copy, you can download a free one today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audio book. But we are not done. There is still more offer, Ken.
Yes, there is. We have another offer from Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, and they're offering 35% off across their website if you use this special link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Inside Editions book, The Lightsaber Collection. Again, use the link. It's not a promo code anymore. Use this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35, trying to get that into your brains like a good commercial jingle. So there you go.
Well, you got to say it three times, right? We said it much more than three times total. So I think we're doing pretty good in the big picture.
Turn it into a song. Insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. There you go.
Yeah. Slash. I really like those slashes. It's one of my favorite parts of my week is saying slash that many times. Great.
As a Guns N' Roses fan, that makes sense.
Slash. It's just a fun word to say. And it works really well when we're talking about horror. Spooky, spooky Star Wars Lego horror time. We are going to be talking about Terrifying Tales. It is a Lego Star Wars holiday special, kind of following up in the tradition of that Life Day special. Life Day holiday special that they did on November 17th of last year, right? Time is weird. Anyway, this Halloween special was written by David Shane and directed by Ken Cunningham. Features a bunch of different voice actors, some fun new surprises to the Star Wars world, and a lot of old favorites as well. Ken, I want to start a discussion, just kind of big picture to set the table. In this special, there are arguably several main ingredients, right? We have Star Wars. Right. Then I guess we have Lego is its own thing as well. But it's mostly, you know, Star Wars, comedy, and horror. Do you like all those ingredients together? Do you think they bake a good Star Wars cake?
I think they do. No, absolutely they do. And Star Wars and horror have proven to go together pretty well, whether it's a Legends book that what the Death Troopers think it was and some of the stuff in Clone Wars, even just Palpatine himself is kind of a horror.
He's a horror story.
Yeah, he does. So I think it works and throwing a little of that fun Lego humor, which is pretty specific, if not at times familiar, but it's definitely a joy. So, yeah, I think overall it can be a tasty cake.
Yeah. I think for me, I love that Star Wars is all of these different genres kind of mixed together. Different Star Wars stories emphasize different, you know, parts of all these traditional genres. And comedy is a big part of Star Wars. I think it's important that it stays a big part of Star Wars. The tradition of comedy is kind of poking fun at Star Wars or with Star Wars is such a big part of how Star Wars lives in the cultural imagination. So I think the comedy is really important. And I just, I love spending a little bit more time in the horror of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. We just want to say horror of Star Wars. I feel like I'm talking about fighting about it on social media. But I mean, internal to the galaxy, to the story, I would love more just straight up horror stories in Star Wars. So I was really happy to see that there was going to be a Halloween special. And then the other thing for me, which I think this does tap into a little bit, is I am a fan of the combination of comedy and horror, never mind the Star Wars of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really fascinating that comedy and horror are structurally similar, that they build tension to get to a release, laughter or a scream. They're both sort of a catharsis. You know, horror kind of wants to make you face awful things and kind of test yourself by facing horrible things. The to me, really great comedy that really has an idea to it is also like really taking a look at challenging ideas and maybe making you laugh at them, like, you know, making jokes about death or impermanence, right? That's a way for us to kind of cope with it, understand it. So there's a lot of comedy and horror that work together. A lot of comedy writers in recent times have made the jump to being horror writers and creators. So there's this great relationship to comedy and horror, like, you know, going back even to, like, you know, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. And I like that on the kind of a conceptual level, like I'm talking about, but I also just like this combination of death and dimwits, right? Like, that's to me, like, the Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein movie still holds up because, like, you absolute fools have no idea that you're what you're truly up against. Like, they're frightened of it, but they're like, you don't right. quite get it. That's Death and Dimwits is really funny. Like, the very serious and the very frivolous jammed together is really funny to me. And I think this one hits that in a couple spots.
That's a great stage play. We all must see Death and Dimwits. and look, yeah, Star Wars, just the fact that the dark side exists is its own kind of horror that we don't necessarily explore in that way, right? And we joke about Palpatine, but he is truly this gothic villain. So I think to even explore it on this level, it's part of why it's so fun.
Yeah, he's an evil wizard from our nightmares, which is great.
Yeah,
great. He's a great evil wizard from our nightmares. All right, so let's get into then the specifics of this special. What was your overall big picture reaction? Did you like it? Did you love it? Did you struggle with it? Where are you at?
I think right now I'm at a real solid like. Again, I love that these exist. I'm a fan of the Lego humor. I love the games, and we mentioned that before. I think the Life Day one hit a little deeper for me. I think there was something about it, maybe even the time of watching it, which in context is important. I have to admit to being slightly in a stressed, grumpy, panic mood when I sat down to watch this for the show. And then I ended up watching it a second time over food and did not take notes, did not do it. I just watched it to be entertained and did find it entertaining. So that's why I'm at a like level, which is a good spot to be in.
Okay. So it sounded to me like you enjoyed it, but it isn't like some of the Star Wars we watch where it like speaks to you on a deep level and you get really excited.
Yeah, even again, the Life Day special, like, I really was there for that. And really, and I think, and it's not about Poe versus Rey as the lead characters. I love Poe and think this was a very well written story. I think there was something just about the Rey, the Life Day of it all, and the tradition of that. When this is kind of establishing a new tradition, and again, horrors have been in other spots. We can talk about, some of the Vader Castle comics and all that stuff. Yeah, but I think this is establishing something new. And also, let's be honest, I am more of a Christmas, Thanksgiving, holiday season guy than Halloween. That's just my perspective, I guess. But I think it's fair to say what you were saying there. Yeah, it didn't grab me as deeply as the others did.
Yeah, no, and that's totally understandable. I definitely will admit to being in the same place of like, I'm excited to watch this. But, you know, I watched it to really dive into it, take, you know, notes so that we could have a robust discussion about it. But watching it for me really kind of pierced any sort of I'm watching this in an analytical way. And I ended up just really, really enjoying it. And I think for me, a lot of how much I enjoyed it is I just love being in the atmosphere of the spooky side of Star Wars, you know, even like every moment I'm just sort of like enjoying the literal aesthetic of just seeing spooky characters with glowing eyes, you know, a mouse droid right. making a giant shadow. I just love that aesthetic. It's part of the reason I love the Halloween season. I love the gothic and the spooky aesthetic, just like visually. And then you can even get into the more conceptual level of why, but this is just for me is like is obviously a funny special and had some great ideas and very, very clear life lessons about fear, which I support and are good. And I think everybody needs to hear kids of all ages need to hear those life lessons about fear. But for me, there's also just that I love this aesthetic. So I like spending time in it.
No, I mean, look, fair to say, in Fortress Vader, or as they call it, or Vader's Castle, I think Fortress Vader is the official canon now. And there you go. I'm stuck up on canon on a Lego special. Can't stop it.
The true horror of Star Wars. Horror. Is it canon or not?
It really is. Oh, gosh. No, at the end of the day, I mean, to have, if you're young sitting down watching this, you're going to get some valuable lessons there in this one here. And it was fun. And the aesthetic, the Vader's castle, everything looks great. Mustafar is its own horror, right? And I love spending that time there too. So I can be right there with you on the aesthetic.
Yeah. So I did want to ask you about that. I know you're not a big horror movie fan. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy these aesthetics? When you just like you see a castle with shadows in it and something lurking, are you like, awesome, this is great?
I mean, I do get a little scared. I've been offered to do some ghost hunting. I don't know if I will, but no, I do like it. And again, when even I, you know, not being a Halloween fan for whatever that's worth. Also, I love candy corn, which is some people consider a horror. So
I got a bag of it I bought. I haven't tried it yet because I don't think I've had any since I was about 16 years old. So really? I can't wait.
This every year, like those 2 pound bags find their way to my house. Love candy corn. Always have. Even though I'm not here for the Halloween season, again, taking it back to the dark side itself and what that could mean for Star Wars, and just the look. And it's almost in a way from what you're describing, it's a little bit of like the dark side personified in wall hangings and in tapestries. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the other things that I enjoyed about it is the sort of Star Wars side of it, that it really elevated and spent time with the spooky and the horrible. And it's such a great insight. And you're so right to say, like, almost every Star Wars anything is a little bit of a horror story because the dark side is there.
Yeah,
it exists. That temptation to be selfish and angry and violent is there. But I really like just kind of the balance that there are the three stories, one from the sequel era, one from the prequel, one from the original. But I also just like that we spent some time with, you know, less celebrated characters, like, you know, first on-screen appearance of the character of Ren, you know, only really second, no, I guess third with Force Awakens, but we haven't spent much time with the Knights of Ren. To see Mother Talzin again. The fact that Vinay, you know, a one scene character from Rogue One, is like the spine of it. You know, it's just so great to spend time with some of these less celebrated characters who represent the horror side of Star Wars.
What I love about this one, and looking back at the Life Day one from last year, is truly written by Star Wars fans, put together by Star Wars fans and people in Star Wars who are like, we got this whole world to play with, and this is a good spot to do it with a little less pressure. You mentioned the Ren thing. It's pretty crazy that Ren is here, I think. Not everyone's read the Rise of Kylo Ren comic book. And even people who are watching this, I think you got to be, if you're of a certain age watching this, you're probably a certain level of investment as a Star Wars fan. But I think that's pretty crazy and pretty fun. And to just be like, hey, here's all these things in the books and comics and all the things we've all celebrated and enjoyed the last 5-6 years. Let's have fun ones there, or Mother Talzin going back even beyond that. So, yeah, I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, from a marketing perspective, it could encourage people to check things out. But also from just a wide world of Star Wars, wide galaxy of Star Wars, it's great to be able to encounter something in this weird place and then go, wait, I've never seen those Clone Wars episodes. Who's Mother Talzin? Is that really how Maul came back? I'm going to go watch those, which I think, you know, obviously there's a marketing aspect to that, but it's also like, that's part of the fun of Star Wars, is it's this kind of choose your own adventure of, do you want to know more about that? Then go over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine if you're sitting down and you're like, let me check out that. I got Disney Plus. I got the Hulu ESPN bundle. Let me see what Star Wars. I'm a big Star Wars fan. And you're like, this is how Maul came back? Who's this witch? There's a guy named Ren. Like, I'm fascinated with those points of view. I want to hear from those people. What'd you think?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just such a fun contrast too, because they are more, in the grand scheme of things, more obscure characters for most of it. And then we get to that original trilogy story, and it's so original trilogy. It's so referencing like some of the oldest possible moments of Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, that was really great.
Yeah. The other thing kind of in this big picture look that I wanted to ask you about is I was kind of fascinated to see, you know, a variety of jokes. Lego Star Wars and Lego in general has its style, and there's some just classic visual slapstick humor. There's some classic just kind of character or motivation based humor in this, characters claiming they aren't afraid. And of course they are, and like all that kind of stuff. But then this also had a strong element of meta Star Wars comedy, which means poking fun at things that are in universe, but then also really a good natured making fun of fan reactions, right? Like that whole conversation about, is that how Maul really came back?
Right.
And you get that cynical perspective from Poe, and then the more positive perspective from Ram and Bash, the two Itachi sidekicks, to saying like, that's awesome, he's got legs.
Right, right.
How did you feel about the variety of jokes, and how do you feel about those jokes that are having a good natured poke at fan reactions?
I actually really enjoy those, and I think it's always good to remind ourselves, just in general, not saying you and me, but remind ourselves as Star Wars fans that Star Wars is big enough to take those loving jokes. And I don't think any one of these jokes here are being used against it by anyone accredited. So therefore it becomes just really fun. It's those jokes we see on the playground. There was one joke about, does he take his legs off when he sleeps, about malls. I'm like, I really enjoy that kind of stuff. Even more than some of the Lego, there's that Lego humor works really well, but like pulling out the rubber ducky with Vader, that's very Lego humor to me that reminds me of the games. And that's okay. That's fun. But like, I would want an entire script with nothing but meta jokes that not everyone's going to get. It's just really fun. It makes you, reminds you of just part of the experience of being a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was really struck by, you and I have referenced this before. Every Star Wars fan has a different perspective based on generational things, right?
Yeah.
And I think for us, having grown up with the original trilogy, and then, you know, really even before the special editions, before there was actual consternation, strong, passionate consternation. Like, I grew up around people who, yeah, were mad about Return of the Jedi because they didn't like the way Boba Fett went out, or they thought the Ewoks were too cute or whatever. But there was kind of this window where, well, it's a given that we like the original trilogy, so we can question it and make fun of it, and it's clearly coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
Whereas then with the prequel era and right now with the sequel era, there's this, I get tense anytime somebody makes a joke because, like,
yes,
is this a good natured joke? Or if you say a funny joke about an observation about the sequel trilogy and I laugh, are you then immediately going to go, well, and that's why Kathleen Kennedy should be fired?
Yeah.
You know, you don't ever know if it's good natured or if there's a, like, more anger lurking underneath.
Yeah.
And so it was a real, it was just cathartic to just feel like, hey, yeah, when Maul first came back, this was the discussion people had. They either had the Poe perspective of, what, that makes no sense, he got cut in half, or they had the, he's got spider legs, that's so cool. And yeah, to be in this frame of reference where we know we love Maul, so it's perfectly safe for us to have a good-natured laugh about this.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have the stopping off and having this discussion here, because it's something I said, I really sometimes need to remind myself because of what you're saying. And this does go back to the prequel era where the jokes were not out of love. Like you said, they were out of a declaration of, I'm leaving this behind as a fan, right? Like, how stupid this is, you know, I'm out.
Yeah, it wasn't good-natured ribbing that it started with a tax dispute. It was proof that it sucked.
Yes. Yes, absolutely it was. And that just has only gotten bigger and bolder and worse at times. And there's absolute tension still in my shoulders. If you make a joke, and there's a lot of fun things in the sequel trilogy, those little quotes and stuff we love, little moments where, you know, I start getting, you know, the boxing gloves come on. Like, are we going to fight? We going outside to fight? No. Oh, okay. You actually, oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah. Like, somehow Palpatine returned is like, I want to have some good natured jokes about that, but I always fear it's immediately going to turn into a diatribe of legitimate upsetness, not a fun poking.
Yeah, because if you were to use a somehow Palpatine's return meme on Twitter, you're going to get 19 responses going, yeah, exactly, that is horrible.
That's why the movie sucked. That's what, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So, but all that to say, we can have the longer discussion on that another time, but I do enjoy, and there's some vibe that I similar to the old Robot Chicken stuff. I think it's hard to not think that. And I like that stuff. And I think that still, whether I agree with every joke and everything, blah, 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 doesn't matter. I still think it is a room full of Star Wars fans having fun with Star Wars. And this always has a vibe. And that's why the second viewing of this was a little bit better experience for me, of just sitting back, eating a salad and laughing.
That's the way to experience Halloween. Just eat a salad and laugh.
Eat a salad. The horror of greens.
I have one other thing I wanted to ask you in our kind of big picture thing here, of a very funny setup to me of, you know, we knew it from the trailers, but it's funny to really see it fully in action. Grabala the Hutt, voiced by Dana Snyder, you know, saying this is the galaxy's first all-inclusive Sith-inspired luxury theme resort. He describes the people who are coming as free spending. Did you have any sort of tension of like, that's a heck of a thing for Disney Plus to be releasing and poking fun at as they're advertising the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel, which is a luxury themed resort vacation thing?
Look, I love it. And I love it, I think, because I'm an old Simpsons fan. I mean, I still enjoy The Simpsons, quite frankly, but just like, that where they would take a big swing at Fox and just the characters would literally look at the camera and blink. It's got that vibe. And again, like you always say, you know, Lucasfilm wasn't started as a nonprofit charity organization back in the day. And it's always been there to get the word out, I guess, and make a little green off of it. So I actually really, that was still, even seeing it in context of the show, was one of my favorite bits.
Yeah, it was really funny. And yeah, I think for me, it is like, that's always just going to be attention, a reality. Star Wars is meaningful, powerful, funny, entertaining stories crafted clearly by people who really, really care about the story. But they are, it's also a large thing to make money. And that reality is always going to be there. So having a little bit of fun with it, a little bit of tension in there is fine with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit then about the kind of some of the ideas. This is a Lego holiday special. Sometimes the ideas that we talk about are explicit. Sometimes they're a little bit kind of pulling together bits and pieces because this is a Lego holiday special. Some of them are just explicitly stated, but I think that they're really fun to discuss. So mm-hmm. Let's dive into what kind of ideas do you think are at work in the framing story itself?
I feel so smart. I was writing down this note, and as I was saying it, I think Poe actually said the line. I was like, I got it. I nailed it.
Yes.
Pump. I put the finding the balance between fear and courage. And a timeless thing. This is why I reminded that, hey, this might be geared towards a younger audience. So just to have it, to hear it, to say it. I really love that. And especially from Poe, who has had his own struggles with courage and when to act and how to lead and what's the point of it all. I really love that, and it really worked for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing, is like sometimes the big idea is slightly subtextual and sometimes it is directly text, which is great. I like that this was so much about fear, because if you're going to do a Halloween special, you know, really getting into the heart of it is great. And I like how we've got this very traditional Star Wars coming of age story. We have the younger kid that is a perspective character, very clear arc of, you know, him being afraid, realizing his power, you know, Poe be there to be, in the classic Star Wars tradition, both a good mentor and somebody who's like, hey kid, you need to hear these life lessons. And also I need to remind myself. Because these are ideas we need refreshing on at all time. This is Star Wars is for 12-year-olds of all ages. So I liked that was there, that coming of age, that mentor thing. But the fear stuff was, for me, it was great to have Poe just say, like, it is totally natural. It is going to be there. You can't control it, but you get to choose how you respond to it. Like, I think that's a really important idea in Star Wars, not just about fear, but like anger and everything that comes with the dark side, right? Of some of these things are just, the dark side is always there. You're always going to be frightened. You're always going to be scared. You're always going to be tempted to lash out in anger. The question is, how do you respond to it?
Yeah. Bad things happen, and where do you go from there? Something that's always big in my life, and something I'm more and more interested in studying, just even as a culture, when something a giant and a tragedy happens, and how do we as a nation move forward? I mean, it's always going to be there. It fears always through it, and just being able to acknowledge it and fly forward. Yes, I'm talking about big world scary events on a Lego show, but that's how it works. Checks. And just right from the beginning, even with some of the stuff with Poe and the TIE fighters, and just even BB-8, and I'm talking about fear and when someone says I'm not afraid, and that's both a good thing and can be can go wrong.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, even though, you know, Poe says the life lesson directly, and in, you know, the third act finale, they use what they have learned about fear and all these very straightforward things. I also like that it is just supported by all of the beats, both dramatic and comedic. Like, I like that one of the main jokes is people denying that they are afraid, and then, you know, suddenly seeing a shadow or somebody coming up behind him, and Poe's hair flies off, you know, like,
yeah.
And you can just see that it's like, it's a slapstick joke. It's a, you know, character joke. He claimed he wasn't afraid, and he is, but you know, this is one of the reasons I love comedy, is even the simplest joke has an idea buried in it. And all those jokes about people claiming they aren't afraid, feel like simple jokes, but they're going to what Poe says here at the end, which is like, everybody has fear, you know, mm-hmm. and you gotta accept it, you know, which he wasn't doing earlier. Because his hair fell off.
His hair fell off, yeah. Love that. Love that. Put a pin in that. Every joke has something at the core of it, because I have some thoughts on the amount of puns in this episode. But
excellent. Excellent. I also just like that it supports its own theme by showing fear as a motivation, that we learn that Dean really doesn't want to be working with Grabala, but he's afraid to quit the job because he doesn't know how he's going to provide for his family. And I think that's really important, too, because Star Wars can be such a great heightened fable, right? And we think of fear as, are you afraid? Are you too frightened to ignite your lightsaber and fight a bad guy in armor? Like, but the way it relates to us in real life is closer to what Dean is going through of like, I don't like this job. I don't like the way I'm treated. I don't think the person I'm working for is a particularly a good person, but I'm afraid to make a change.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of real life thing that all of us wrestle with, I think, day to day, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my hair falls off too, Paul.
My hair shoots into the sky. I also like that, you know, there's just the basic, you know, Star Wars story of the dark side being greed that, you know, Grabala wants more, that gets reflected in some of the other stories. There's also, to me, this through line of ego being dangerous, right? There's so much at the beginning in particular about that Poe is caught up in being the best star pilot and being known for it. And Vinay assuming that he's going to be able to, you know, unlock this prophecy because Poe is the best. So there's this like Poe kind of dancing with the danger of being extremely egocentric or full of himself. And then that's also what's going on with Vinay, his actual motivation of like, you know, it's Vinay's time to shine. I'm going to be the powerful one now, you know? So there's this nice little thread about the way ego interacts with fear as well.
Yeah. And the insecurity of it there. Yeah. The foundation, ego is often built on insecurity, right? They put that on a t-shirt. Say that, Poe. you've really unlocked that one, Ken. But yeah, no, especially with Vinay, it was really well done.
Yeah. Final thing for me in terms of big ideas is I really liked that this was, you know, stories within a story. Obviously, that's just a great structure. It's a classic Halloween structure for delivering lots of little Halloween stories. But there was this great switch, I think, where this definitely celebrates the power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. But there's an idea that from a sort of light side perspective, stories can be inspiration. Like we watch Star Wars and we see, you know, Luke or Rey or Han triumph and we go like, oh, I'm going to try to be like that. I'm going to try to get past my fears. Mm-hmm. Stories are inspirational. But then stories can also be cautionary, like, yeah. Except the things you can't control, you know, make sure that you're doing things, you know, not just for selfish reasons. So you don't fall like Vader. And this had the great tension where there's that epiphany moment for Dean and Poe of like, oh, we thought you were telling these horror stories to us as kind of cautionary tales. Because we're used to horror stories being cautionary tales. And the sudden epiphany like, oh, no, for Vinay, these are inspirational stories about how to become an all-powerful darksider.
Yeah, the danger of letting people have their own interpretations, I guess, huh?
Yeah, those stories were for him, but it honestly did make me think of the like Lucas's kind of, you know, in interviews consternation of like Vader is a tragic figure, you know, you're not supposed to want to be Vader. And there was some you know echoes of that in that cool storytelling flip
of old Vinay believing the lies.
Yep, exactly. All right, any other big picture thoughts before we talk about the individual stories?
No, let's dive into to The Lost Boy.
Yeah, so I loved these title cards and I loved the realization that they were not just telling Star Wars Star Wars horror stories, but kind of putting them through the process of different kinds of stories, you know, and those title cards really announced it. I loved the sort of VHS glitching on The Lost Boy and that this was kind of a riff on Star Wars as horror, as an 80s horror movie vibe. So what were your thoughts on Lost Boy? What did you think was kind of at stake or going on there, or what was enjoyable? Give me all that.
Yeah, overall, I really love this. It's so funny to get caught up just on the surface again of, well, this is slightly different than what the comic told. You're just like, oh, God, just enjoy Christian Slater. I got Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh in my Star Wars here finally. Love that. And this idea of, I go to this big theme of this false sale as of power as kind of this form of respect, definitely status and how you can control. But just a lot of that of out of a lot of the fears going on with Kylo and just Ben before he's Kylo. And just even the Knights of Ren just out and out mocking him, schoolyard mocking him. But because, you know, it's like, oh, you're not this powerful marauder. How dare you? That's how you belong. That's how you find yourself. And there's this false sale of power. And Star Wars puts that out there a lot. Vinay himself is grabbing it. But just like, oh, you want to get better. You want to control things. You want to be safe. It's just power. Take power and feast on fear and take what you want.
Yeah, no, that's so great. Such a great intersection of things. Like when it is revealed that these stories are inspirational stories to Vinay, mm-hmm. you know, he says, my whole life I was weak, pitiful, afraid to seize power.
Yes,
right. Like that's his theme statement on what this is. But with the whole kind of 80s horror movie pastiche and specifically The Lost Boys, that influence and then what was actually happening in the story, to me, it was so much just about peer pressure.
Yes.
It was just like, you're not really cool unless you have these kinds of genes. You're not really cool or valuable unless you use your power in this specific way. And it is that just horrible peer pressure thing of the Knights of Ren coming along and going, Ben, you feel weak and unrespected because you're not exactly sure what to do with your power. Well, you should use your power this way. Can you do it? And then Ben's like, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
It's just peer pressure. It's just peer pressure, right?
Totally. Oh, totally. And again, this, and who's more insecure? The Knights of Ren are. The bullies are. So it's a schoolyard lesson indeed. And they got some good humor out of those moments, but I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And a good mullet there for Ren.
Indeed.
We will talk about some of our kind of individual favorite comedy moments here in the second half of the podcast. But moving on to the next individual story, we have The Dueling Monstrosities. The title card announces a little bit more of a 30s, 40s Frankenstein's monster vibe. When Vinay is recounting what the stories mean to him, he talks about this story being a about always toiling for others. What did you get out of this awesome opportunity to see Maul and Grievous go up against one another?
I took a lot of what Grievous kind of sometimes represents, which is this, you know, this quest for power will actually leave you worse off than before, and how dangerous and empty the pursuit is. And that is the selfish nature of power. We talk about the dark side destroys, the light side builds in theory and in general. And this one is two characters, love seeing them together. I love just kind of taking both of their stories, shortening them and turning them into a little sketch. But because of that, you can highlight of what both of them have done, you know, this quest for more, but this quest for power. And this, I talked about in the first one that false sale of power as respect, but also power is healing. And again, it's an empty pursuit.
Yeah, no, I think very well said. I really like the way the comedy in this one absolutely funnels to the big ideas. I mean, that's true of all of them, but for this one, I thought it was really on the nose in a good way that there are all these jokes about their weaknesses, right? That Maul got cut in half and he's got these janky legs and Grievous can always be hacked apart and he's got a cough. And those are the jokes, and those are like meta Star Wars jokes as well to fan reactions. But they're also accurate to in the galaxy. And it's this great sort of metaphor for they both feel like they're broken and not good enough. And so they are desperate to please a cruel, uncaring father figure.
Yeah.
And it's really so funny to watch something that is like, this is funny, it is cool, because even though it's Lego, it's still Maul and Grievous fighting. And then when you really break it down like you did just now, Ken, it's a cautionary tale about like, Maul, Grievous, you're good enough as you are. You have value for yourself. You don't need to prove you're not broken by beating each other up and trying to please a father who will always throw you away.
Literally. Yeah. It literally, yeah, Maul comes through there with the taped up spider legs around his midsection and this lightsaber that's going to rule the day. And literally is tossed on out there. Absolutely. It's again, this empty pursuit. I keep saying empty pursuit, but just a dangerous game. And and not seeing, because I said selfish, the selfish nature of power. It's like, you can't even, you're too selfish to help yourself. You're so selfish. You're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You're not helping yourself there. So anyways, yeah, definitely a play along with some great jokes.
Yeah, absolutely. A cycle of self-destruction going on there. So we move on to story three. It is the Twilight Zone altered reality kind of riff here. Vinay describes this one as, now Vinay has all he desires more, just like in this altered reality story where Luke gets everything he wants from the Wookiee's paw. What did you make of this one?
Actually, this was really fun. Actually, absolutely my favorite one. And this is one I definitely will want to review again, just because of that meta stuff and the meta kind of what ifs that were answered. But I still go into a lot of what I think Luke in New Hope and all through the original trilogy, but specifically New Hope, is your journey is already happening and you have to be open to the path in front of you. And I think Luke in this one, you know, the unfettered desire gets in front of him and blocks him from what should have been and what becomes, and how it's never enough. We got this fear runs all through these episodes, but this power, the power is respect, the power is as a way to heal all these false pursuits, and the old Lucas one is really on display here. Of you'll never get enough power, and everything Luke does always ends with him wanting more here, and you see what that does for him, and where it takes him and where it gets him. So you can have the big discussions about the what ifs and the fun questions that are proposed in this about Obi-Wan and Leia and all that stuff, but hey, just unfettered desire, and it's going to block your journey.
Yeah. I mean, this one had a lot going for it with that big, you know, what if, great Twilight Zone vibe. So many original trilogy jokes remixed in a good and successful way, I think. But yeah, the actual idea is very, very clearly the idea of always wanting more, and these dark side combinations of greed and selfishness, and if all you want is more power for yourself, it's never going to be enough. So you're on this endless vicious cycle. But in particular, I think by realizing that with the kind of old, you know, be careful what you wish for horror trope, you know, that is really about, to me, this, if you take a shortcut to the things you want, it's empty, because mm-hmm. you haven't learned anything along the way. You've just been given, right? So yeah. It's got this, like, that's part of what the coming of age story is about, of like trusting you're on the path, like you said, which means you're learning things as you go. You make mistakes, you learn from them. You learn the why of things, right? Mm-hmm. And this is just explicit. Luke just keeps getting what he wants by talking to the old Wookiee paw. So he hasn't learned anything, which is how he ends up using his same maneuver and accidentally shooting down the Death Star. So, you know, this idea that if you skip the learning part and just get to the thing you want, then you haven't learned anything.
So this is about becoming a TikTok star, right? This is what it's about. And I hope you see, if you become a TikTok star with multi, you know, million views on your wonderful videos, you've earned it, because you've learned this journey.
Well, I won't until I learn new skills, because I can have all of my old skills I can bring to bear, but it's a different world, and it's a new world, and I need to be open to the new, and I need to learn a lot more about TikTok.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Yeah. I would not use my Wookiee's paw that way.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd use my Wookiee's paw that way. Anyway, on that moment of ambiguity, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back to discuss some of our favorite moments in Terrifying Tales. Back in a moment.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we are back to continue our discussion of Star Wars Terrifying Tales. It's part comedy, it's part horror, it's all Star Wars. Ken, let's talk about favorite moments of comedy. Obviously, these Lego shows, both the specials and actual shows like Freemaker Adventures, really want to keep the jokes coming, jokes of all kinds. So there are a ton of jokes. Which ones spoke to you? Which ones did you like?
It's so funny. I made these notes yesterday, which seems like a week ago in my life. And I'm looking at some of them, I'm like, I just wrote down force tickling. And then I remember, yes, a little bit, little use of the force with some tickles. I like that there. That's number one. I got more. Don't worry, kids. I got more. You and I are always tracking the tales, the tragedies of the battle droids, and the one being melted, like the lava falls on him. I was like, it's funny, unfair, but unfunny.
On the lava fountain. That yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I love the Grabala Trooper Collection joke, because that is so us. That is just, you know, shore, snow, death, got all the troopers. I love that.
It's so funny to just take a thing that is real and just slightly reframe it. And the Skello Trooper, that might be my favorite thing from this whole special. It's just slightly more absurd than what would actually appear in Star Wars. Yes. And it really works.
Yeah. Yeah. I can get behind a Skello Trooper.
Yeah, why not? You know, to scare people?
Yeah, they can work the morgues. They can protect the morgues. I don't know.
Nice. Yes. Are those the evil porgs, the morgues?
Yeah, the morgues. Yeah.
Nice. What else you got?
You got the montage with Kylo Ren, but I do like the line coming back. If it wasn't the beach dancing, the initiation. That's fun. I enjoyed that. This one of the final ones for me. Well, you mentioned the Shadow of the Mouse Droid was really funny, because I love a mouse droid getting their due. And then I love the exchange of Poe saying, those stories are made up, Vinay. Are they? And just Poe just sighs. It's a good sigh.
Yeah, that was great. I'll try to edit here on the fly, because I wrote down a lot. Partially just because I like the variety of kinds of jokes. Mm-hmm. I really like the joke that's at the beginning and at the end of Poe's flight suit just flying off in immediately his classic jacket outfit. Because there's a lot in Star Wars of like some pretty quick outfit changes there.
Yeah.
And that they always just have their classic costume on entirely under their flight suit. It's great. So I really like that. I liked in the trailer setting up what Vader's castle is Palpatine saying to Vader about the castle maybe being a bit on the nose. And he says, I mean, you can say evil fortress on a hill without saying it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more, I think, of an adult joke of like, but it also goes to kind of a Star Wars meta conversation. I've literally had conversations with people that like, I love Vader's castle because it is so on the nose. It's, you know, Star Wars is fantasy and it is a dark, brooding, scary fantasy castle on a lava river. And other people are like, it's so dumb. It's just a fantasy castle. Why does Darth Vader have a castle? He should be in a ship. It's science fiction.
Yeah, no.
And this one, and that joke kind of just got into that in a subtle way.
Yeah, and I think it was such a lifelong dream to see Vader have his castle. Is always rumored in the 80s, you know, from the Macquarie stuff. So I will love it, and I want Vader to go more gothic there, Emperor. I loved it.
Yeah, go even more gothic. I like the rubber ducky because that's such an iconic scene from Rogue One of like what are Vinay's responsibilities during Vader bath time? a couple other ones for me. I thought it was a good job playing the joke of Ben being young and snotty. When Luke says something about how it's clear Ben is upset, and Ben says, "Did you use the Force to sense that?"
Yes,
because you know, as much as I love the prequels, there are some lines where you know, Mace Windu says, "I sense a plot to destroy the Jedi." Like, do you sense that, or is that becoming obvious in actual machinations around you?
Mm. Oh, that's funny. That gets to some stuff with the Jedi. Yes, love it.
Yeah. It was great to have the very Lost Boys parody. Mm. The very 80s interpretation of what are wild vampires like with the famous sax scene. So seeing the topless Bith playing the clue horn in this very specific Lost Boys parody was really funny.
Glad you mentioned that. I forgot that one. Yes. Good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. Mentioned this one at the top, but just wanted to highlight it again. I loved Poe saying about Maul being cut in half and getting all the different legs. Is anybody buying this? And Ram and Bash just being, not even listening to him, just being so taken with his story of, does he take the legs off to sleep? I don't know. For me, it was so magic because it's so captured. You know, I wasn't actively watching Clone Wars then, but it speaks to me of like, maybe somebody a little bit older going, oh, is that realistic? And then just imagining like a 10-year-old watching Clone Wars and just going, who cares? This is he's got spider legs. He survived on hate. This is the coolest thing ever. How does it work? It's just a joke about the contrast between cynicism and just enjoying the fantasy.
Yeah, and now I'm more on the fantasy side, but I was kind of there in that time frame of like, oh, that's cool, but it's a spider leg, like, so good meta humor there, good use.
Yeah, there's one moment where Maul is hacking apart Grievous, and he says, "Whoosh!"
Oh, I missed that. That's hilarious.
that was pretty great. I love that it was Watto selling the Wookiee's paw.
Oh, yeah. That was a great pullback. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And my final thing I wanted to ask you about, I personally enjoyed Mecha Vinay. Did you like that it was like he makes basically like a kaiju fighting Pacific Rim suit out of Sith artifacts?
Yeah, well, especially when you put it as Mecha Vinay, you know, when we got the Mecha Luke that everyone wanted in Episode 8. So there's that version of it. Yeah, I had no problem with it. Again, totally fine. Totally, I can expect this Vinay to be released. I'd love to have the Mecha Vinay Lego set to build.
Yeah. I think I liked in just big picture, final thing for me in the Wookiee's paw. Is there running through the kind of the original trilogy and all the different permutations of what if Vader filled this role, you know, what if he's Yoda on his back? And then, you know, I was, when they got to the kiss for luck moment, I was like, are they doing it? And like, are they dead? All right.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, do it.
If they're going to do it, go all the way. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Use the music and everything. So a lot of great jokes coming from a lot of different perspectives. You said that you had a thought about what jokes can mean, the depth of what they can mean. What were you thinking about?
Well, the other way, I actually put this in my favorite moment, one of my favorite moments of horror.
Great. We're segueing there anyway. So let's go.
Yeah. You mentioned, jokes tell a story. They're communication. There's a purpose behind them. Unless you're telling puns. And I consider puns to be pure horror. So the amount of puns in this was both entertaining. I do think a good pun is pretty fun. I also think they're horrific. So that all through, some puns popped up and everyone had fun doing them. But for me, that is my nightmare.
I understand. Yeah, and I think you and I both gravitate towards jokes that have a sort of complexity and a catharsis. And, a lot of people enjoy wordplay, and it is, it's different schools of comedy thought.
Yeah.
Some people even, there've even been studies about literal different wirings of brains that there's something innocent about playing with words because it is just silly. It's just incongruous. And oftentimes the puns don't mean anything. It's just this sort of sense of play. For me, I gravitate towards the jokes. They're like, that's funny. Wait, it means something.
I just find most people obsessed with puns usually don't stay quiet enough to see if anyone else enjoys them. So my lifelong lesson there. But and I think some of them work there. But again, I do enjoy. I'm having some fun with this. It's tongue in cheek a little bit because it's Lego stuff. But yeah, all the way through, I kept noticing those puns. So horror.
Well, I'll agree with you on this very, very strongly. I have made an effort to look at puns just by themselves and ask myself, do I enjoy them? Because for me growing up, I associated puns with them being forced on me, and that yes. is the way they exist is for some, your dentist to literally trap you and not let you go until you laugh at something that you don't think is funny. It's not a great association. It's not a great starting place for comedy.
Yeah. Every pun said to me is usually in that setting of like, well, I can't get off this set.
I don't have the choice of whether to laugh or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm being told to laugh. Yeah. That's not a fun place to be.
did you hear Force Center this week? Kenneth Joseph did 30 minutes on why they hate puns and the people who say them.
That's not exactly what we're saying.
Not fair.
Any joke said in a way where my decision about whether or not I think it's funny is taken away is not great. Anyway, let's move on to other moments of horror besides puns.
yes.
For me, I kind of wrote this down, before I watched it to find moments of horror. Were there things besides puns that were legitimately like, that was a little scary to you?
No. As much as I don't like horror movies, it was all fun here. The thoughts of them there. I love the zombie battle droids.
The zombie battle droids were like there was nothing where I was like, I am frightened. I need to turn the light on. But there's like some stuff that was like, it's not just a joke. It's actually like creepy. And the B1 zombie droids, Roger, was legitimately creepy.
Yeah, especially if you didn't like the prequels in 99, right? Yeah. I like it. And it reminds me of some of the, wasn't it that arc on Geonosis, right? Where you got some zombies rolling around the land there too. Good use of it. And I thought it was very effective and looked really good and really cool.
Yeah. I thought legitimately creepy was Ben's dream, right? And being surrounded by the, I believe his fellow Jedi students, singing a Hatice nursery rhyme with the glowing eyes. That was legitimately creepy.
I didn't see all of Midsommar. I walked in and out of the room while Grace had it on, but I'd say it's the same thing.
Oh, man. If you haven't watched all of it,
I've watched enough. I've seen some things in my day.
I really, really enjoyed that very terrifying movie. I love a terror that can happen almost all in the light. It's a really amazing accomplishment.
So same kind of vibe.
I was actually like a little creeped out, a little affected in the Wookiee paw story where, Luke's been powering up that Wookiee paw. And now, not that Luke doesn't wrestle a little bit with the dark side, but he's such a light side nice guy, grumpy because he cares too much. But to see that shot of young Luke with the 5 o'clock shadow going, I want more. That like legitimately bummed me out.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. Love that.
I also just liked the reveal of long has Vinay waited for this. Cause I like the referring to himself in the third person. And it was a good reveal that, you know, Vinay is, of course, the big bad.
The big bad, or Darth Hideous is about what they called him, which was actually kind of funny.
Yes, absolutely. So any other horror moments for you?
Well, I think I meant to write this in the comedy section, but sometimes when you're scrolling on the old Google Docs, I just wrote in the favorite moments of horror, the Imperial Emporium gift shop. I'm assuming I enjoyed the comedy of it, like we discussed earlier, but also as much as I love the gift, a gift shop can be horror when you're stuck in one and you can't get out of it. So maybe it tracks.
It's really funny that it's a joke in this, an effective joke with that little bounce of like jazzy music of like buy things from the Empire shop. But then you go to Galaxy's Edge and you can go to the First Order shop.
Yeah. Well, and the corner, like where I bought, where I'm drinking out of this right now, this Imperial Death Star drinking mug, that corner was the same design in this Lego one, the red wall. So they're clearly referencing it in the First Order shop there. So I love that.
Yeah. Good reference to Galaxy's Edge. Moving on. So this was a chance to really immerse ourselves in the horror and the creepy and the dark side aesthetic of Star Wars and some of those characters. Are some of these characters, which of these would you like to see more of in modern non-Lego canon?
I'll tell you what, this sounds like I'm making a joke. Grabala the Hutt is interesting to me. Could you tweak the voice? Yeah, you know, maybe. You know, we've had similar Hutt voices before, comical Hutt voices. But there's something I really loved about a Hutt being like this real estate mogul. Not that he's gone straight and he's turned away from the family crime syndicate, but there's something about that that also works in concert with a Hutt being in control of something. Like, if Jabba needs things built or needs to acquire land and ships or whatever, like it would be someone like Grabala the Hutt who has kind of this legitimate business or legitimate front of a business. At the end of the day, I actually really liked that character.
Yeah, so like a wheeler dealer used car sales Hutt who's always kind of looking for a new angle.
Absolutely. That or just someone who's like actually like opening up a hotel on Coruscant, but he's a Hutt and he's got ties to the Hutts. And maybe you don't trust him. Maybe you shouldn't trust him. Or maybe he is trying to go on the straight and narrow. I don't know. But just the Grabala the Hutt, when he first started talking, I thought, I don't know if I'm going to like this character. At the end of the day, he just who he was and the way they played him, I really liked.
Yeah, so Grabala features prominently in those Freemaker Adventures, that show, the Lego show, voiced by Dana Snyder, who people know from many voice acting gigs. I've had the pleasure of doing several shows with Dana. He is a sweetheart and has that just kind of boundless comic energy in real life like he does in his performance of Grabala. Yeah. So I really enjoy Grabala.
Well, there you go.
For yourself, though, other characters besides Grabala?
It's really interesting that you're playing around, much like the Life Day one, playing around in this post-Rise of Skywalker era, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy was Dean, the kid Dean. There's someone, absolutely, Poe kind of saying, my friend Rey, I gotta bring you to her. She'll train you. Like, I love hearing conversation like that. And it's kind of like Lucasfilm putting a foot in the waters of what it would be like to go forward. I'm not saying this is some sort of test. I'm just saying like they're having fun with that. And it's very clear. They're making that decision. Even post telling those TIE fighters, you know, and then you get the message, the war's over. It's pretty intriguing. Cause if you're going to start the story, are you going to do that again? Like I love that. So that character, the young force sensitive, chap making his way through the galaxy is intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of things in here for me that I really enjoyed here for what they were, but it just makes me salivate for like a modern live action, you know, in canon horror anthology, because I like these characters that represent it. Fascinating to see what other storytelling there'll be with Knights of Ren. Mm-hmm. We got to see them a little bit, but then the actual character Ren, that whole comic book of Rise of Kylo Ren, I just I love. I think it's super important to canon, and I'm just amazed that it exists. Right.
Right.
So I'd love to see more of Knights of Ren in general at any point in their timeline. Is so great. This isn't horror, but it's so great to just see a little bit of Ben and Luke training.
Oh, totally. You know, yeah.
To see in this, you know, Lego fun show, a little bit of the storytelling you're pining for, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have been happy with more Mother Talzin in the show. I was hoping that we were going to spend a little bit of time with her. There's a lot, I think, going back to, you know, depending on how long Mother Talzin's been alive, a lot of storytelling to be done with her.
Oh, absolutely.
And then this was great to take Vinay, you know, this character that's, you know, for the most part, a deep cut from Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
But he kind of relates. How much is he related to the Imperial dignitaries and all that? It's great to see this story, and it makes a lot of sense. But it also made me want to see, like, actual perspective of some of those type of characters of, you know, like everybody else attached to the Sith side, does he dream of more power? Does he aspire he does in this to actually overthrow anything, or is he like, you know, a Sith Eternal where he's like, my duty is to serve the dark side and I have no aspirations, you know? There's some really interesting storytelling to be done there, I think.
Talking about the inner workings of Simulu and Janus Grigatis. Yeah. Let's have that Disney Plus series. No, but is it, cause it would make sense, right? If you're dancing around that kind of dark side energy, that dark side perspective, you might fall for it. It would make sense. It would make complete sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of some of the philosophy of that, because we know so well the Sith philosophy, but what is the philosophy of somebody who's like, I've totally given myself to the dark side, but I don't aspire to, you know, being able to take the throne.
Because it almost goes against the principles. It's about power, right? So you just be like, I love your power. I'm happy with your power. I don't know.
Exactly. I imagine there's just lots of infighting about who is the best Imperial dignitary.
Yeah.
Also, just we both mentioned it, but this isn't a horror thing, but I wanted to shout it out. We've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks, is the whole Star Wars community has, about Star Wars what ifs, because that's always a fascinating question, heightened by the fact that there's an actual Marvel what if. It was amazing to just see a little bit of Leia Kenobi what if, right? To see Kenobi in a ship, to hear clearly, like, she made it to Tatooine, they went to the Death Star, you know?
Yeah, I almost was like, oh no, you guys are, you're going too far. Now we're gonna have so many people wanting to see this in almost to your conversation up top of just like in a negative way of and New Hope had it wrong. But also, just a Star Wars fan who's been wondering for decades of what if Leia had got there. It was absolutely fun to see, and I thought they played it really well.
Yeah, it's great to hear James Arnold Taylor doing an older Obi-Wan as well.
Yes, it was, yeah.
So would you be interested in something like this being an annual special of every year there's a new Lego Star Wars horror special?
Yeah, I absolutely want that. Again, fun to have, just fun to be there watching, whether or not you're going deep dive studying. I just love signing in to Disney Plus and seeing all the choices, and give me more and be something fun to look forward to every year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be really interesting because clearly with both the Lego Holiday Special and this Halloween Scary Time, Spooky Time Special, with the through line, there's really been we want to stay true to the spirit of Star Wars, that it gives life advice in a certain way, and it's coming of age story, it's a mentor story, it's trying to help you out, you know. But there's a part of me that wonders then if they'd ever just do, it's just spooky stories. It's just, you know, three young Resistance or New Republic pilots sitting around a campfire trying to scare each other, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and getting Maz in there, she could tell some scary stories.
Oh, yeah, Maz could absolutely have all the heroes of the galaxy just urinating on themselves in terror. Yeah. Big cubes of Lego urine. That'd be great. I'm not actually requesting it. Not an official request. Okay. Just for absolute clarity. Maz around a campfire. Yeah, it's a great framing device for Forces of Destiny. It'd be fun to see Maz's horror stories. Love that. So this special, obviously, it thanked Kevin Scott. It has some connection to the comic book Tales from Vader's Castle, which isn't there's some comedic elements, but it's much more just people getting trapped there, hearing scary stories. but it's still got that little bit of Vader's castle as a location of an anthology of horror. Has watching this special made you more interested in diving into some of those comics?
Not yet. I'll get to the castle one day. I'm intrigued by the idea, by the way, and I think Kevin Scott's a great writer. I want to be clear about that. But yeah, it's just intuitive. It goes back to when I was seven. You talk about, hey, scary stories. I'm out. I need sunshine. I get scared easily. But look, again, looking at it in terms of dark side energy, dark side power, Sith related and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's intriguing. So I'll probably get there eventually.
Yeah. I read the first batch, really enjoyed them. Some great stuff with Dooku, not surprisingly. I believe there was another round, and I think I could be wrong that we're on a third round, and now it's being written by multiple people instead of just Kevin Scott. So I like that that's a tradition. I like that if you are excited by this Lego special, that there's a place where you can go to get something that is different, but still in that spooky aesthetic. And the only reason I haven't read all of them is because I have so much Star Wars that I want to Star Wars, Ken.
Yes. After we finish recording, I have to run to my mailbox to pick up a large amount of Star Wars comics that were just mailed to me. So,
like a potential of hurting your back from picking up the box number of comics, right?
Potential of I hit that PayPal invoice and went, really, I'm doing this much? Okay. Yeah. So, yes, we'll get to all of them one day.
Yeah, so I will read more of them. Maybe I'll read some here for the Halloween spooky times right before I go to bed and scare myself. Speaking of scaring ourselves, I have one more question for you, Ken. Would you spend a night in Fortress Vader?
Yeah, I would. I do get scared easily, but I enjoyed some overnight camping trips as a kid. We tell ghost stories. I get the appeal. I get the thrill. So I don't know if maybe there need to be a Republic credits reward at the end of the day, but I would go there.
Yeah. Now, if it was an actual resort, like if they actually made this Galactic Star Cruiser was so successful, we're going to do this. We're going to build Vader's castle. It looks like his castle on the inside. You check in. It's all spooky lighting, you know. If it was an actual luxury resort, oh man, I'd be there in a second.
Yeah. Oh, totally. As long as rooms are off limits. You can't scare me in my room, but you do what you will elsewhere. I'll be okay with that.
Yeah. No, you cannot pop out in the bathroom. Nope. Veto. The actual thing, if it was actually real, I don't know. That would be a fun challenge. It'd definitely be something I would love to do in a group and challenge yourself, right?
Yeah. So come on, Disney. What are you lazy? Do something. Come on.
Build this. Yeah. Let's get that the true crime podcast sleepover in Vader's castle.
Yeah, love it.
All right. Any final thoughts on this Lego Halloween special?
Look, I absolutely love this. This exists and it's fun. Like I said, it really does mean a lot. We talk about being a great time to be a Star Wars fan when you sign in, and as a lifelong Lego fan as well, collecting since the early 80s. It's a perfect marriage, and I love having the options. And even though this one didn't hit as deep as the Life Day one, that Luke one, the Wookiee Spa episode, I'm absolutely going to catch again. Just because it's a lot of fun, and the what ifs and the questions, and just seeing Obi-Wan in an X-Wing was fun and worth the price of admission for me.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of great moments like that. Seeing Maul and Grievous fight, even for the sake of of comedy, is great fun. Just seeing Luke and Ben train and Ben sass Luke, great fun.
Yeah,
all of it has had some great just Star Wars what if fun. But I think the big thing for me is it is successfully funny. A lot of things that legitimately make me laugh. It continuing that tradition of Star Wars shouldn't always take itself super seriously. It should be willing to poke fun and laugh at itself, because that's a big part of the DNA of Star Wars.
Right.
And then for me, I'm a big Halloween fan. I'm a big horror fan. Halloween is to me this very special holiday, because in some ways it's fun. All we do is dress up and compliment each other's weird outfits and eat more candy than we should. It's a fun holiday. There's no hang your head and respect this. It's just fun on one side, but then on the other side, the true thing of it and the true thing of horror that is baked into Halloween is, you know, face your fears, face your darkness, you know, right. Acknowledge that the darkness is there so that you can kind of wrestle with it and not be overcome by it. But, you know, just look at the truth of the horror and cope with it, you know. And I really just respect that this special did both. It's just absolute great gothic imagery, fun stuff. The shadow of Maul with his spider legs skulking down an alley. And then it takes the time to really talk about fear is real and that's okay. So yeah. For me, in terms of really just going there and celebrating what Halloween is, I think it knocked it out of the park.
I love it. You know, if it makes Halloween fans happy like you, then it's done its job.
Excellent. Well, with that note, Ken, would you like to let people know where they can find us? Oh. Spooky, spooky finding us.
Search without fear on the internet. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. So funny, as the time of this recording, all that's down. Well, I'm sure it'll be fixed by the time we're done recording, but who knows? I could be saying this in the future without Facebook. Podcast is available on Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and Spotify, among other spots. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter, and you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. From there, you get access to our Discord, where you can have a daily and weekly, if you want, or monthly. It doesn't matter. Have a conversation with Force Center friends from all around the world. You can find me at Cat Knapsack or my website, catknapsack.com. Hey, I got two things going on to let you know about. There's still the Kickstarter going on for our board game over at the GPA called Futility, the Actual Game of Living. Search for it if you want on Kickstarter. And I have a new, relatively new radio show I've launched on Mixcloud. If you're a music fan, I play about 12 songs and present a nice little show about it on Mixcloud. It's called Pop Rockin' Radio. Search for it if you want. One of these days, I'll get some Guns and Roses on for you, Joseph.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah, so there you go. What about you, sir?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. My other podcast, Obsessed, is there. TV shows I've written for, old blog posts about how much I love Halloween. You can find a lot of them on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Zombie Battle Droids, this has been Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.